You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas, especially because not only are we about to hit the most important day of the year in terms of large numbers of presents and even more indulgence, but in the spirit of spending this time of the year with close friends and family, I've got two of my greatest and oldest mates joining me for our Dan Nichols Show Christmas special. Both of them have joined me on the show before, but they joined me together to have a look back at great Christmas memories and celebrate what is the most wonderful time of the year. Stuart Taylor, Chris Forrest, welcome.
Hello, Dan.
It's great to be in your presence. Oh, you see what I did there?
We are off to a dreadful start, and it will get worse, I assure you. Welcome, Stuart. Christmas. It's Christmas growing up. If I look at the Nichol Christmases growing up in Zimbabwe, which were very, very, very exciting, mostly because for the rest of the year, nothing much happens. So Christmas Day was always a big one. How big was Christmas in the Taylor household?
It was massive because it was the one time of the year when we'd see all of our family, because my mom wasn't from Cape Town. She grew up in the Northern Cape. So we'd go and see all of her family. So it was like a big Kimberley reunion at the grandparents' house out on the stoop over there, which is the only place that could house the 19 children that they had and 42 grandkids. So it was great. It was, yeah, I mean, it was a time spent with cousins the night before, as we would sort of hide in the granny's room trying to figure out who's got what present, because we could see the presents there and sort of just feel what is it. Oh, Delia, you're getting a box. So yeah, no, it was really a great time with family. And we don't really continue the tradition, sadly. I'm more of a, you know, if I can rewrite this thing myself, I like a quiet Brahmin.
No, sis.
We have so many big family things together, and it ends up being such a stress that what we've started to do is we make our food the night before, we have a really nice dinner the night before, we wake up at a leisurely pace, we have a mimosa, and we eat whenever. We're not going to do a big, massive thing. We'll do it the day before. It's fine. But on Christmas Day itself, that's a day when we relax.
Chris Forrest?
He's upset me now.
Yeah, I don't like that. You run a podcast about being a good father, and you've just shown that you are not. Your poor kids.
Because I've got a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old. What do you think a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old would rather be doing on Christmas Day?
Sleep till lunchtime.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they're still excited to get whatever.
They are very excited to get it, but they are also very happy to sleep until they wake up naturally to get what they are getting.
So when I grew up, it was also a Kimberley reunion, because my one cousin is called Kimberley. We just call her Kim, though. I've been storing that one since she said.
Yeah, I know.
She's from Quebec. I loved Christmas growing up. My dad was quite hectic about it. He the one year he went outside and he fired off a few rounds in the air and he said, "Sorry, kids, Santa's just killed himself. There's no Christmas this year." After that, it was a bit shit.
And these Boxburg traditions, you know.
No, I'm joking. No, so we always had a massive, we had a big Christmas with my parents and whatever, and then much like you, family would come over. I've kept it going, though. So my highlight, being me, is every year for the last 5 years, I smoke a turkey.
Amazing.
Yes, and that is the best, because everyone goes, turkey is actually disgusting.
Yes.
But I promise you, when you have my smoked turkey, you will love it.
So I'm just picturing you sticking a turkey in your mouth and lighting it. And
yeah, that's exactly. That's how you do it. So you've got to smoke a turkey or a joint, like a joint as in like a leg or something. I know where you're going. And this year, because we don't do family like you were talking about with cousins and whatever.
Yeah.
Because our cousins are all over the world, and that's crazy.
Yes.
They really try to get away from us. But so my parents will come and my siblings and then the in-laws and then my wife's sister and her in-laws. And, yeah, we have a big thing. And this year, I'm very excited. I'm telling everyone, I made for the first time a Christmas cake.
Ooh, look at you.
Now, so I made it, because I don't know if you know this. You make that thing in advance.
Yeah, you have to make it a couple of months
before.
And
then you feed it booze.
Oh.
It's a great tradition because Christmas cakes can last for years. You just yes, keep
not in my house.
The brandy.
They eaten
in
within,
theory, they can last.
Do you put the coins in it?
I thought about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, what coins do you put in?
This is true. We don't have
coins. Suddenly it becomes
a couple of Kruger rands if you're in a tiny household.
That is honestly one of my best Christmas memories ever, right? My grandfather, everyone goes like, where did the comedy come from? My grandfather. My mother's father was the funniest person, right? His gig was just to make everyone laugh. And my grandmother had made this Christmas cake, and no one was really interested in eating it. You know, so you're getting a 2 cents or 1 cent, whatever, in it. Everyone's like, all the kids are like, nah, we don't want. And he's sitting around, and he gets himself a piece of cake, and he just sort of goes, Everyone turns to him, and he takes a 10 rand note out. And he's like, oh! And all the kids gun for the cake. And we're like, yeah, bigger slices.
Charging through it. I remember we used to come down to the Cape for Christmas from rural Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. My mother's parents being in Clovelly. Right. So not even in the CBD of Fishhook, but just the outskirts. And my grandmother would make a Christmas cake every year and absolutely hammer it with brandy and whiskey and I suspect some paraffin. And arriving one year, invited my father rather foolishly to have a slice at some point if he felt like it. And on Christmas morning, she opened the lid to discover her entire Christmas cake was demolished. And my father became persona non grata for the rest of Christmas.
Did he own up to it? He didn't go, it wasn't me.
I think there was, he tried to blame it on her dog, which that's my dad for you. Wonderful memories of kind of the Christmas meals, but also the Christmas traditions. For us, it was kind of 4:30 in the morning. You'd wake up. There was a stocking on the end of your bed.
Yes.
And my sister and I would go and wake each other up to see what we'd got and then wait till, on pain of death, we had to wait till 6 a.m.
Yes,
to kick my parents out of bed.
Exactly.
And then they'd go and fumble for a bottle of bubbles and try and work their way through the morning.
I've got to tell you what happened to me last year.
Yes.
So now my kids are too old to believe in Santa Claus. But right, they claim they still do because obviously.
Because of the treats that come along.
That part's just been edited out.
Yes. Yeah, well, they're not going to watch this. They're not big fans of yours. Sorry, Dad.
they're too old for my target market.
No, but so it's weird because you put in, as a parent, especially with younger children, you put in a lot of effort.
Yes.
To pretend that you don't, so you don't get credit for buying your kids presents.
Yeah.
So we do the whole thing with the footprints and the stockings and like
yes,
the half-eaten crap, and then somebody has to drink the rum, and it's always me. But I take one for the team. And so this year,
your Santa had rum, mine had milk.
No, I give Santa rum.
Our Father Christmas likes vintage Pinot Noir, which I thought might have been a giveaway.
So now. We're doing the thing, and I don't know if you ever saw that episode in Friends, if you're a mad Friends fan, where Chandler and Monica get together, and then everywhere you know that I know that you know that.
Yes.
So my eldest is kind of doing that to me. She's asking me questions like, hey, Dad, why do Santa's footprints always taste like flour? And I'm like, why are you eating his footprints, you weirdo? But now, so now she's also refusing to go to sleep because right. Now she wants to catch me.
Yes.
Or Santa. And eventually – this child goes to sleep. It's like 1 a.m. I'm knackered. It's like, okay, let me go get the presents and put them under the tree and whatever. And then I set the fucking alarm off. So now ADT is on the way. Well, I say ADT, a security company. That's actually not ADT. Anyway, so now I also got to now, and then I'm like, this kid's going to wake up and come through with Dad with a bag. So I just threw everything there and I completely forgot to do stockings.
Oh my goodness. Terrible.
So not only did I disappoint children, I managed to anger a ginger lady who I'm married to and irritate the reaction officer.
I think it is right to say that Father Christmas does have his toughest gig through South Africa. Combination of alarms, electric fences, large dogs.
It's a difficult thing to get in, guys.
Since he started skipping Zimbabwe, he doesn't even give them a lump of coal there. They've got nothing.
I will say, though, the wonder in your kids' eyes, right? And it doesn't last for a long time. If you're a young parent and you watch this, mark my words, like there's such a short window when there's the absolute belief and the absolute wide-eyed. I'll never forget Andy's words. He wakes up and because our We hardly ever had Christmas at our house. It was always at the, my parents, in-laws, whatever, but we'd never really be at home. And at this particular Christmas, they were just young enough. And they were just, but they were just old enough to get it and be that excited about it. So they're going, well, he knows where I am now. He knows my house. Because this was Andy's concern the year before. How will he know where I am? We're not at home. So now he's like, okay, cool. He knows we're at home. It's all good. He went to bed early. He's ready. And he wakes up the next morning. And there's, he goes to bed and there's nothing. There's no, it's stark. And he wakes up the next morning and it's this magic he walks into. And he looked up at myself and he looks and he goes, he looks at the present, he looks at us, he goes, he came. I was like, oh man, it was like the last.
My best actually involves this dude.
Oh, okay.
Would you believe? I think it was you. I know you did it for me the 1 year. So I used to run a Christmas party.
Ah, yes, the orphanage, for the children's home.
For a place called the Villa of Hope.
Right, right.
So every year, what I would do is I would get people to donate. In fact, this year I've been terrible because the late Darren Scott actually started donating it, just give all the money for the presents.
Gotcha.
But I'd get people to buy, choose a kid and buy that kid a present with a maximum value, And then I'd get someone to play Santa Claus. Mr. Nickel did it for me a couple of times.
Nice.
And then
a very emaciated Father Christmas, of course.
The trick was Zarina, who ran the home, she would come and as she gave Santa the present – she would whisper in his ear. She would say, this is for Stuart.
Yeah.
Stuart's been amazing. He just did a really good one-man show, and he bought his wife, Eliska, a beautiful pair of shoes. So he's been a good boy. And then as the kid sits on Santa's lap, he goes, I saw that you bought Eliska a pair of shoes.
Amazing.
And he had a great one-man show, and these kids were like,
how does he know?
How does he know? He must be the real deal.
Incredible.
That was the absolute best. But then one of the ladies, they ruined it because she said, you have to thank Chris and Tabitha for the presents, guys. They're the ones who bought them. And I was like, no, Santa bought them. Santa. And we had like a weird argument. But anyway.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Do you remember yourselves the first great Christmas present that you got, the one that as a small kid really sticks in the mind?
I do remember the
I can't wait to hear what this is.
I really wanted a I think it was a He-Man figurine.
Okay. So and this was university days.
It was old enough for me to have saved up enough money for it. And my parents were like, no, we're not going to buy it for you. So I bought it for myself.
Did you have two?
Hey? No. Oh. I bought it for myself and then I wrapped it. I put it under the tree. And I opened it on Christmas. I was like, this is the thing I really wanted. My parents would say they're not going to buy it for me. So I bought it for myself.
Did your parents know you did it?
Yes.
Merry Christmas. Man. Stuart, love from Stuart.
Sometimes it's fun to freak them out. Like it wasn't a Christmas thing, but my cousin, Kim, funnily enough, she had adopted this kid and my aunt was like very proud. She bought him Easter eggs.
Right.
And she said, I've bought precisely 24, so I'm going to know exactly how many there are.
Yeah.
So obviously I went and I bought another box. So when this kid carried on finding Easter eggs, she was like, so like, can you imagine your parents are like, I know exactly what we bought Stuart for Christmas.
He is a duplicate.
Did you buy him a He-Man? No, did you buy it? Where did He-Man come? It would have been the best thing ever.
I loved Lego.
I was kind of a Lego dude.
And it, I think my parents loved it because it meant I literally didn't bug them during their post-Christmas lunch nap because they were just like, go build your car, bro. That'll keep you busy until New Year's Day at least. So, yeah.
I was that kid. I knew where my mom hid the presents.
Mm.
And so it was one of my best. It's a weird memory. You've just jogged there, Dad. And so my mom had bought me this Lego spaceship.
Mm.
And I looked at it every day. Obviously, you can't take it out the box because
you can look at it, Jim.
I looked at it every day for like yes. 3 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I built a whole station in preparation for this.
Would it have been sad if they'd given it to your cousin? Oh, that's what.
In fairness, three guys in our late 40s, we'd take a Lego spaceship quite
100%, happily. 100%. Oh, and magic tricks. This is the thing. They knew I liked doing magic. So there was always like, okay, we can go buy him like a magic set or a magic this.
Yeah. I remember my mom bought me my first magic set.
Yeah, I got one. I was, well. Yeah.
He made the joke, but I was about 30 at the time.
It's never too late to get your first magic set.
I wish I was
set.
Kidding. I gave it to my nephew.
No, you didn't. Today, so many of the kids want technology. They want the iPhone 35, and they want a play box and an X station and all these things the kids are keen on. We would take, in fact, we did it once. We did the pilgrimage from Marandera, rural Zimbabwe, in a Datsun Pulsar. How that got to where it did and got back again, I don't know. It was held together with sellotape and staples and chewing gum. And we went to one of the great cities of the world, then Petersburg, now Polokwane.
Lovely.
And drove down. And our Christmas gift, myself and my younger sister, was one of those little handheld computer games where you had the race cars and you had to move them left or right to avoid the oncoming traffic. There was an asteroid version, I think, with spaceships. And I think I had a red one and Kira had a brown one or vice versa. I mean, they now probably cost sort of R8 at the crazy store. But this was it was pretty big in South Africa. Yes, you take that back to Zimbabwe in the in the early 1990s. And this is technology as never seen before.
Yes, 100%.
And the joy that gave us sitting there just playing away is a sign of what was to come.
But that is the thing. I do remember there was always like there was the hot thing that came out that November specifically. So I remember 1 year all the cousins got a Walkman. That was the thing. And then a year before, everyone got a little whatever game, not a Nintendo or anything, you know, some kind of no-name thing, but really, again, loving it. Yeah,
I didn't get that.
Well, keep hoping, Christopher.
I got a boat the 1 year.
Amazing.
Brilliant. The next year we got a pool. It's a great boat, though.
You've ripped up your family traditions heartlessly, but Chris, you've kept yours going. But when you do have that time at the end of the year, and I think the three of us spend a lot of time traveling, working, we have odd hours. Family time is often not something we get quite as much of as we would like, given what we do. So is that what's become a really big element of Christmas? That, right, put the brakes on the gigs, the events, the social media relentlessness, and just spending some really good time together.
100%. And over the last couple of years, we've been very fortunate. Over the last 3 or 4 years, we've spent it on the West Coast, and it's been absolutely sublime because it really is. And it's partially the reason why we go, well, I don't want to be in front of an oven cooking with respect, is that I go, What is the lowest hanging fruit? Get the coals on the Weber, stick a leg of lamb over there, and then
make me angry. Yes.
No, and then
the Weber or the coal
in front of the oven. Take your turkey, put the coals on the one side of your kettle bra, because we're not endorsing any particular brand here.
Yes, of course.
Low and slow just stick under the skin of the turkey.
But even that under the I want to be doing is nursing the gin and tonics over here. I need to be making the margaritas. That's where I want to spend all of my time and effort. But this thing of literally chilling in the sun on a deck, watching the ocean, inner shorts with the kids over here. You just run down to the ocean, have a dip come back. That's been the thing. And it really is a couple of days of that. So often just before Christmas until just after New Year, where it's just we hang together. And it's no distractions, and it takes us back to kind of a sort of, it's got the small town vibe, right? So the boys have absolute independence in that space, in that they can just go, oh, hey, I'm going to see you in a few minutes. We're off to a restaurant. So they wake up in the morning, they go down to a restaurant by themselves. They're going to have breakfast, take the dog, and it's like this amazing little bubble that we live in where everyone just gets to.
What's it called?
We hang out in Paternoster.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll see you there then.
Come.
I'll bring a turkey.
Excellent. I'll bring the margaritas.
We've started a new tradition since lockdown where we sell stuff at a Christmas market at a casino in Fourways.
What for a Christmas fairy tale.
For the 10 days leading up to Christmas Day. It's brilliant.
Come on, children. It's the Christmas car boot sale. Not but, car Daddy, boot, that's very, my favorite toy.
Very classy stuff.
Yes. Your bacon. Is it your bacon jam?
Yeah, it's all of it. The bacon jam, chimichurri, the Brian with wood range.
Amazing, man. Amazing. I'm just waiting
for my children to be old enough to work for me. Then, the Christmas tradition is going to be brilliant.
Really kick in. So we've developed, well, I think it was possibly a nudge from lockdown as well, when I think the world as a whole truly fell in love with Netflix and wasn't able to escape.
Yes.
But there is a joy in watching the Netflix or Hallmark Christmas movie, which are basically color by numbers. They all have exactly the same plot. Yep. They work out in exactly the same way, but something about the snow and the tinsel and the inevitability of the happy ending just makes it saccharine and wonderful.
Do you watch the local one? What's it called? It's like How to Ruin Christmas.
Oh, I have.
But now it's become like a whole.
Now it's a series.
It's like how to ruin what?
Easter. How to ruin Hanukkah. How to ruin Public Workers' Day.
I've heard they're really good. I haven't watched any myself.
There are a couple. Was it Christmas with the Chinnaswamis? I think that was a local one as well. A couple to put on our Christmas list.
Yes, we'll put this it on. Year.
However, despite all of those, and it's, they're wonderfully intellectually vacuous and fun to watch, I'm going to be spending Christmas this year in Northern Ireland, back to where I was born. Family are over there. And my sister Kate, who annoyingly is the success story of the family, Lord Mayor of Belfast at 33, Member of Parliament. I'm supposed to be the cool and famous one. Hasn't worked out. I resent her enormously. What she has done to try and get back into her Big Brother's good books, I think it's on the 21st of December, while Kate takes my children off Christmas shopping, and that in itself is great because Christmas shopping in the UK involves pounds and I've got rand. But she has booked tickets for my wife and I, a couple's couch, nice and romantic, at a local cinema to watch the single greatest Christmas movie of them all, Die Hard.
Excellent.
I was very nervous as to what he was going to say there.
I said, it's got to be Die Hard. It's got to be Die Hard.
Closely followed by Die Hard 2. But I think we have watched Die Hard. We've watched Die Hard and we've watched Tim Allen in The Santa Claus every year for the last 20. Just something about as a Christmas tradition.
Yippee-ki-yay.
And we'll leave it at that. What about you guys? Christmas movies, Christmas songs? What about that part of Christmas?
So we've started a tradition as well with friends.
This is the 17th tradition you've started.
No, so I didn't start it. We should say we've joined it. Friends of ours who live up a hill are quite musically inclined, and then it's just become a bigger and bigger thing where everyone who can play a musical instrument goes there and plays. Not all of them are brilliant, and the rest of us sing carols.
Amazing.
But you've done this before because I've been to Christmas carols in your garden.
Years ago. You came to when I still had the kiddies' Christmas party.
I just sang and everybody looked at me.
You've done many things around this Christmas thing. I just want to take myself off quietly to a West Coast town.
You're the worst possible person I've invited to be on a Christmas
special. Borderline the Grinch.
Stuart the Grinch Taylor, why I hate Christmas.
I love Christmas. No, you don't. I just have a different Christmas to you guys.
Christmas.
I'm gonna show you how to do it. I just want you to smoke a turkey, man.
My friend,
you are Ryan Reynolds in the latest Christmas Carol, and we need to turn you around. You're a Dickens character come to life, Stuart Taylor.
Actually, The Grinch is a good Christmas movie as well.
It is the Jim Carrey one.
I like the Jim Carrey.
That is good. It's the kind of movie where you can just see how much fun the actor is having playing somebody nobody else likes, which is delightful. This Christmas, then, so you're going to be dead boring, Taylor, and set fire to something and show no interest in Christmas tradition. What about Christmas gifts? What would be top of Stuart Taylor's list, other than world peace and a handful of lingerie models?
For receiving or for giving?
Let's start with giving. What would you like to be giving?
What are you going to give Eliska this year?
Yes, because we need help.
Let's ruin that surprise.
Yes.
Do you guys still make it a surprise? Or do you be like, hey, I actually want
No. We are overt with our hints. We are overt with our hits nowadays. Like, she'll just hit me straight up with a, ah, you know, the strap on these shoes broke.
Yeah, the strap on.
Yeah, we all just heard the strap on. The punctuation is important.
The strap,
the strap on, full stop.
These shoes broke. No, she just, yeah, she's quite overt in terms of, oh, this is the thing that'll make my day. So I now is the time I listen out for the hints. And if I don't, I'm terrible. Then it becomes like oh, here's the customary full body massage at the 12 Apostles or whatever the case may be, because you can get that on your phone the night before and get it emailed to her.
Which is much better than those convenience shops at the Engine.
This is true. This
yeah, because the selection there. Sorry, guys. It's not
that said, though, I've noticed that in these stores there are now boxes of Lego and basically things that are there because someone has forgotten a birthday,
absolutely,
a wedding anniversary.
Yes.
What can I get at the last minute?
So my brother used to work at the CNA back in the day, who had a late sales department.
Ooh, nice.
And Christmas Eve, every single year, at some point.
Cleared out.
They had to say, guys, you have to leave the store now.
Yes.
If you leave now, we'll give you a 10% discount, but we need to close. Because it was always packed with people looking at the last minute for like, oh,
of course.
Crap.
What do I get?
What's Tabitha getting this year? We won't tell her.
I don't know. A lump of coal. I've got lots of that. I haven't thought of it yet, to be honest. But we're not overt with our hints.
Mm.
What I like to do is say nothing and hint at the wrong thing, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, this is really nice. No, I'm kidding. No, we
how are you still married?
ransom. I've given her some nice stuff over the years. But we'll see. I've got a few ideas, but nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what is wild? Like, my wife's last hint was for a very expensive watch. She's like, oh, she said, did you see, the princess, what's her name?
There's a few of them. Charlene?
No,
Catherine.
Is it Catherine?
Catherine.
Williams yes. Watch? Yes. Whatever watch she's got. Oh my goodness, that's a real, I've never liked a watch before.
That sounds inexpensive.
It's a watch is a great present because there's no present like the time.
Oh,
I've given you my time. Well, I did look at the price of that, and I was like, oh my
goodness.
You're
on your last warning first.
Dan to hook me up with a Cartier sponsorship, please, Dan.
You can write these down and put them in your Christmas cracker.
What about gifts for ourselves? What's top of the list for you, Chris?
I think I already bought it for myself. No, I'm easy to buy for.
Mm.
Yeah, anything with a liver bird on, I'm happy. I'm that sad. Or anything to do with Bri.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know what? I was earlier this year, I got a bunch of gifts like Bri stuff, and it was so liquid to just, oh, this is nice. Tongs with a whatever, with a light or random things.
What he's saying is he wants donkey long tongs for Christmas.
Possibly.
Random endorsement there.
No, do you know what it is? If you say to me, what do you need? I don't need anything. Life is amazing. So anything I get now is just...
It's a bonus thing.
Yeah, everything I get now is a bonus.
Kurt used to have the joke about, give me something expensive that I don't need. And I'm not going to do the punchline there.
What was the punchline?
So I got her some chemotherapy. Sorry, Kurt, it's not your joke.
On that nice, happy Christmas note,
who's the Grinch?
You two are in fierce competition. We filmed a really fun Christmas show for Dan Really Likes Wine with Banele Vakela, the young winemaker, and Leon Mayer from Cape Grace, and then Corin Dudley, the chef, who's enormously cool. And she was saying something similar to you, Stuart, where she's at a stage of her life where she's trying to get rid of things and scale down a bit. And I'm like, no, this is Christmas. I want stuff. I want to be surprised. I love opening presents. I love finding out what's in there.
Can I say, actually, now that you mention it, I mentioned Bri, but actually wine stuff. So now I've realized if you're drinking the right wine out of the right glass, it will taste completely.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, a nice, what are those, the very expensive wine glass?
The Zaltos and the Riedels.
Yes.
Have you tried the glass? It's kind of thickish at the bottom and then thins out on the top, right?
Not the bottle.
Something like
oh, it's an,
when Riedel starts making a bottle, I will have it.
Oh, dear. Guys, Christmas is almost upon us, and it's been great to share a few Christmas memories with you both. We've got 2026 on the horizon. I think it's a difficult time to be a parent because this year has not been a kind one for many in the world, and I'm not sure exactly where next year is heading. So in the manner that the Pope and the King and other figures of global consequence do give their Christmas messages, I think you two sit on a similar pillar. Chris, what would you be hoping for in 2026?
World peace.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, I don't care about that. No, I do. I don't know. I just want to carry on doing things, like having fun.
Mm.
Brian like, and cooking and making people laugh.
Brian cooking, making people laugh, a Liverpool victory in the Premier League.
There we go.
And not even Santa could do that. But the Champions League, maybe. Who knows? Springboks having a successful – what's this new tournament that's on the card?
Yes,
there?
The new Nations Championship.
That's the sporting side. And for my daughters to have an awesome – one is doing cool stuff. I'm not going to jinx it by saying what it is. And the other one just got her colors for chess. So, amazing. You know, maybe
– Well, there's cause for a paternity suit. Oh, dear. Stuart, 2026.
Yeah, listen, my kids are quite a bit older than your kids, gents. So listen to Uncle Stu now. My wish for the year is that I get to spend a bit more time with them because it's slipping away. It's very much we're losing them to being in the world. And I've got very, very little time. So I'm going to just try and spend a bit more time being present with them whenever we can be with them. So because, yeah, it's just... It's busy. They are busy. They're literally living there.
15 and 17.
15 and 17, guy. So, like, I'm staring at the other day I was...
So, Liska was standard 10.
I was moaning with Dave and he wouldn't do something. And I was like, yo, Dave, I've got a month and a half to scold you. And then you turn 18, bruh. then you're a grown man. Mm-hmm. Then you can do whatever. And Andy as well. You just go, jeez, man, He's out. He's in the world. He does his own thing. And so we spend very little time together. And I guess the plan and the hope is to spend it being quality time.
Well, given that he's almost 18, maybe this time next year on the Christmas show, you will be less of a Christmas Grinch, just by then you'll be a grandfather. Yeah. And that might...
Oh, you clearly don't know, Dave.
What is your Christmas...
So I think to a degree I almost have it in that we've had a really, really fun year of this particular show. You know, you both spent more than enough time on the Dan Nichols show. I think, Stuart, you were the only person who was on every single season other than me. In fact, you might have even been on a season I wasn't on. And Chris, you got dragged off from wrestling in Boxburg to doing fitness in Lycra in parks across the city. I had a great deal of fun with it, and I hope that you guys did as well. But this has been a really rewarding space where it's a lot more intimate. You can spend a lot more time having fun and just hang out with some really good mates. So that's been great. We do a lot of similar with the wine. And I genuinely think, at the risk of sounding a little Mike Lipkin meets Mother Teresa, that for all its challenges, I think 2026 has got a lot to look forward to. And I think South Africa is, without trying to sound we're only saying it's good because everywhere else is awful, but the rest of the world is in a lot of trouble. And South Africa seems like a pretty good place to be at the moment. So yep. I shall take it happily.
There was a movie that predicted we'd be the last...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, everybody had to jump on a ship, and they were like the only country untouched.
South Africa.
Yeah. Which movie was that?
There was a sci-fi movie where the Drakensberg was the place where everybody finished with a great flood.
That's amazing.
So, all right. KwaZulu-Natal.
Well, you guys can drive to the Drakensberg. I'm a bit buggered.
Well, I can all take a boat there if things go according to plan. Guys, have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, or at least Chris, you do. You're going to have a horrible Christmas, Chit. You described it exactly. No, you shall love it. Enjoy the time with the boys because it slips away as they get older. And enjoy that West Coast Christmas. Chris, enjoy the 82 family members. Enjoy the car boot sale illegally positioned outside the entrance to Monte Cassino. and putting your poor kids to slave driving work. And I shall look forward to enjoying a Christmas that actually looks a bit like the Christmas cards, because Northern Ireland, possibly snowy, cold, authentic Christmas with the family is one I'm much looking forward to, as I'm looking forward to having you both back on the show next year and many more misadventures.
The Easter special.
Yes, exactly.
Or if not the Valentine special.
That sounds better.
Dan did say this is the best threesome he's ever had.
Oh, there we go. I won't argue with that at all. Of course, if it's Stuart, there'll be no love for the Valentines and no Easter eggs for the Easter one, but we shall do it nonetheless. Guys, have a fabulous, fabulous Christmas. And to everybody out there who has watched, supported, listened, posted during the course of 2025, it's been a terrific year with the Dan Nichols Show, and we look forward to much more of the same next year in whichever way you celebrate, whether it's properly like me and Chris or not like Stuart. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas or a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Take care, stay safe, drink lots of good wine, and we'll see you back in 2026.
Goodbye. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.